Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I hope you have your galoshes on, and you are going to need a more rain in the forecast. We'll check that for you in just a few minutes. There are an awful lot of road closures due to flooding, and we'll sort of touch base on that too, but I'm sure by now, if you've been affected by it, you know where they are. I, for one, was a little surprised. Tony, on my way into work, you know, I like to come in, drop over the hill there from Villa Hills and come through Bromley and take Route 8 in, just a nice leisurely ride into work. And sure enough, Route 8 was closed there as it goes from Ludlow into Bromley because it was covered in water. And I got to chuckling. Normally, my friend Steve owns the Ludlow Bromley Yacht Club. And whenever he's going to make an addition to the Ludlow Bromley Yacht Club, he waits until the river's up. Well, he could move one from three blocks away if he needed to, because it's everywhere down there. So do be careful, and don't believe those television commercials where they show people driving through high water. Don't do it. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie. So did you try to drive through it?
No.
I was just kind of wondering. You got that big four truck out there.
No.
The one you start from up here inside when it's cold out.
Yes, that's a nice
with the remote
there.
Start. I can't afford that kind of stuff. Certainly, yeah. I can't afford that. But you're absolutely right. It's amazing how much the river can really rise when you get a lot of moisture, a lot of precipitation. Especially up north of here too, they're getting it. Yeah. It just flows all our way.
Did you notice all of the earthworms in the parking lot and on the sidewalk? You know the ground is saturated when the earthworms are running and looking for higher ground.
This is something else, you know, and it almost reminds me back in 1997. At that point in time, I was still working at Great American Insurance, and we would run all the time during lunchtime. We would run.
Come on.
Yeah, I used to run all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not making that up. Now, I would run, you know, like 3K races, 5Ks. I certainly wasn't like Katie wanting to run a full marathon by any means. That's brutal. That's trying to kill yourself.
Right.
But we would run often, and we would run the bridges, you know, Mount Adams and various places. And I just remembered, and that was when Old Riverfront Stadium was still in play.
Yeah.
Gosh, that water. And going back down to, you know, down there on 2nd Street, you had Sleep Out Louis, you had Flanagan's.
Yeah.
And
I used to run those bars.
Oh, we all did. And that was just all totally underwater. Oh, yeah. So that's what this kind of reminds me of. I really haven't been out and about. Brought my camera into work yesterday. I was wanting to, you know, just scour about and take some photographs. But it's just amazing. I mean, I think everybody's fascinated with water when it rises.
Oh, yeah.
Not those that live next to it.
No. And there was, you know, you try to keep our friends down in Rabbit Hash in your thoughts. That if you, I don't know if they need volunteers to help empty out the store, but the river is.
Is it up in the store?
Up close to it. There was a picture posted yesterday. They had a U-Haul truck, and they were unloading a bunch of stuff. And I just got to thinking about my my dear friend Donnie Clare, who was the president of the Historical Society down there, passed away last year. And everyone that talked about the renovation of the general store said, well, you know, it's not original. They're not, because the floors were level. And the old floors, they were all warped because of previous floods. And maybe Old Man River is thinking, well, I'll help you get back to that original state. We'll get up there and warp those floors for you.
No.
We don't want that.
No.
But it kind of made me chuckle. And I know Donnie would laugh about that as well. But today's high is going to be right around 57. Cloudy, rain all day today. And then we'll see a break from the rain tomorrow, again with a high up of 57, 58 on Monday, 64 on Tuesday, 60 Wednesday. So warming trend. I don't think Punxsutawney Phil got that right. Like I mentioned last week, I think we're clear of that really winter weather.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that I had heard one of the weather guys mention.
But what do they know?
Well, yeah, you got a point there. you know, these are the kind of things, I'll tell you what, there can be a lot of fallout as a result of what's been going on in these warm temperatures. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's just not favorable. And we'll talk about that throughout this morning's show. We also have a special guest this morning, too.
Oh, we do.
Ryan Houlihan.
He's coming back.
Yes,
huh?
He is. From Arling House Heating and Air. Good friends of ours, local leaders, very supportive of the show here at Entering Around the House. Wow. So, we're not far away from, firing up that old air conditioning. You're talking about some of those issues.
And I'll be happy to share with him our experience. We went through Arling House to have our ducts cleaned at the house there.
Ducts in a row.
And get them cleaned. And it worked out really nice. So
were they pretty dirty?
Yeah. I mean, we've lived there 32 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've never had it done, I just was something that I was never given a second thought to. And then with all the renovation of the house going on, which is nice, I'll have to share that with you, too. Our progress downstairs in the basement, Lisa's decided that it was time to get that clean. And it was a mess. They were dirty.
Well, you're breathing all that stuff. You know, we've talked about that several times before in the past. And mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Ryan had a special device or tool that he can bring into your residence and kind of give you an idea. Yeah, check the air quality, give you some ideas about pollutants and so forth.
Yeah.
That's why you need green plants.
That's right.
They filter out a lot of those things that we breathe every day in our homes. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit this morning, too. So there's definitely a lot going on, and we're also going to head down to the Home and Garden Show.
We're
going to
be hitting the road.
You might see us down there kind of getting a little crazy. Yeah, we'll try and be on our best behavior.
Well, okay.
I mean, you're already looking for drink tickets. I don't know where that's going. I'm just trying to get a way in, and you're looking
special,
for...
Every special event's got to have drink tickets, don't they?
They got a couple of those booths, there.
Oh, I hope so.
They're on all ends of the facility inside.
We'll send our producer, Johnny, on a... recon mission on
now
that.
Go get pizza.
So in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, gonna talk a lot of different things this morning. Got a lot of ground to cover when we come back.
With all this rain and so forth, we've received several emails about drainage issues in the landscape and around the home. Let's touch base on it somewhat. There's some things that you can do and some things you need to pay attention to.
Well, I love paying attention.
I know you do.
I can't afford anything else. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, I just realized this is the final weekend of February. Blink. Yeah. Next weekend is the 1st of March.
Flies by.
And we try to tell all of our listeners and remind everyone that, it's going to quickly be upon us. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that you want to make sure you have ready to go when the season jumps into full bloom.
It's starting to. I've been so excited in the garden center, all the new stuff coming in. It's arriving every day. Not just at Jackson Florist and Garden Center, but all of our local garden centers.
Notice the buds on our magnolia tree already.
All stuff is starting to swell. We're going to talk about a lot of that because it's...
The crocuses are up already?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff. The snowdrops, the crocus, and even... just want to throw it out there, our plant of the week.
Oh, the plant of the week.
Yes, it's nodding in full bloom.
Nice.
So that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. But, I want to touch base on a couple of things, too, around the house with all this water. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are just finding out for the very first time, or those who have been battling this for some time, is, just water buildup, in a basement or around the foundation. There's a lot of static pressure there. So, it's so, so important, and I say this all the time, and I do this often myself. I'm not just saying this. Is that, as long as it's not lightning or life-threatening, if you go outside with an umbrella, to just, check out, the lay of how the, everything is around the house and your downspouts. Uh-huh. Make sure that, your gutters aren't clogged up and the water's moving away from your home. It's not pooling. Those are just really simple things that you can do, especially when we're getting a lot of rain. When you get enormous amounts of rain in a given short amount of time, those are just get out there and check it out. And also, it's so, so important around the foundation of our homes is to make sure there's ample soil there, and it's there in such a way that it's not up over the sill of where the actual foundation is and perhaps where the brick meets.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. You definitely don't want to take soil up over that point on the home because water can seep in underneath that. But around the foundation, make sure that you have an ample amount of soil that is sloped away from the house.
Right.
You know, that helps, you know, with water and pushing it away from the home, getting it to flow outward. You know, where your downspouts come down. I have underground the plastic tubing,
mm-hmm.
the corrugated tubing that collects my rainwater and it shoots down into the yard. I check that all the time when it's raining.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure that there's not leaves in it, it's not stopped up, it's flowing like it mm-hmm. should be. So those are things that you can do to channel and keep water from building up around your foundation. Now, also keep in mind, when you go through those hot periods throughout the summer months, it's also just as important to make sure that you have ample moisture around the foundation because you don't want that soil to get too dry and it starts shrinking away.
Sure.
So it's a really fine line to walk, so to speak, for lack of a better term. But, you know, it's those are the things you can save yourself a lot of headaches. And, you know, I wish that our friend Jason from Herman Services was in with us today. I know he could probably shed and talk a lot about sump pumps and so forth.
I bet
a lot of sump pumps have been working overtime. So these are things that you can do just to keep an eye on what's going on around your, you know, the outside of your home when it's raining a lot like this. You know, and something else too, this is what's important about landscape plants. You know, a lot of times having foundation plants and having that landscape planted up correctly around the home really helps keep things in place. You know, the root structures of our shrubs and our trees, you know, keeps erosion, you know, at a minimum.
Yeah. And it can help keep regulate that moisture you know, around the foundation.
And they'll take up a little bit of moisture. You know, we've had these calls before in the past. Hey, what can I plant that will drink all the water? Well, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, but there are some various shrubs and trees that will tolerate moisture more so, better so than others. And, you know, something else, too, this is really important as well, is having the right amount of mulch, you know, placed around the landscape. You know, 2 to 3 inches, no more, no less.
Sure.
What that does, that also keeps your soil in place. You know, that helps with a little bit of erosion. So there's a number of things that you can do as a homeowner to perhaps ward off, stave off any potential issues with, you know, when we get a lot of water. And, you know, we had some questions, too, where people who live in subdivisions, and, you know, a lot of times the houses are still relatively close together, the way the you know, the yards are laid out, they collect water in like a swale area in between homes.
Yeah.
And if you get a lot of water that's pooling in those areas, you might have somebody come out and take a look at it to where you need to, you know, install a French drain.
Sure.
And get that away. That is not good. So those are things you need to do. And whenever you bring somebody in to take a look at something of the sort, you know, if you have some serious drainage issues, have a couple of different reputable companies, you know, stop in, give you, you know, just give you the lay of the land, what they think they need to do. Check references. Always check for references.
Sure.
Always check Angie's List, the Better Business Bureau. Do not get fleeced. You know, it happens all the time, especially to the elderly, you know. But, you know, certainly too, today would be a great day. If you're having some issues, maybe even if it's with your gutters or your roofing and so forth, get down to the Home and Garden Show. You know, there's some great sources, a lot of local companies down there that can help you with a lot of problems.
Agreed. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a moment when we come back.
Well, you know, it's awfully wet, and I still want to stay on that that wagon, so to speak. And let's talk about overseeding, winter seeding. I'll tell you what I think about it when we come back. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. We have to pause. We'll be right back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it is raining. It's going to rain all day.
Yeah.
Been raining for a couple of days. But we do want to try to turn your focus a little bit to your lawn. I'll get these questions quite often about winter seeding, overseeding, and Tony has some ideas of about what you should and maybe should not be doing.
Well, typically this time of year, we're encouraging homeowners who, in fact, need to still work on or repair the lawn to a certain degree to seriously consider about, you know, to consider winter seeding, dormant seeding. They're both one and the same. And typically this time of year, the temperatures are a lot colder, and we get that fluctuation with the soil surface, you know, when we get those warmer temperatures during the day, and it, we go into that freezing mode in the evening and over the throughout the overnight hours.
Right.
What that does, that's Mother Nature. We benefit from that freezing and thawing progress of things, that the seed just, you know, it gets nestled into the soil surface and it's somewhat protected, and just everything kind of works from a natural standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a really, really good thing. However, you know, with all this moisture that we have, this is a perfect example of why you do not want to do that. We need to postpone this. And if it means doing it in another week or two or three, or as we get into March, then so be it. That's what it means, because we certainly don't want to put a lot of money, time, and effort into this and all for nothing. You know, what happens when situations like this, because the ground is so saturated, the seed can just sit there and lie there and eventually just start to, you know, rot, decay.
Yeah.
And there's no benefit whatsoever when that starts to occur and happen. You know, not to mention, you know, if you get a lot of heavy rains, a lot of times what that does, that displaces the seed. You know, that seed can just run off and all of a sudden it's piling up in an area that you don't want it in. So there's a number of things here that come into play when we talk about dormant seeding. Right now, the main factor here is it's wet. Postpone it. Put it off. If you already have your seed, it's going to be good for the most part. You know, we don't lose that viability with seed, even if you bought it late last year, if you just bought it at the turn of the new year. So, you know, it's hang on to it. Wait till the time's appropriate. And I also want to mention to you, if in fact we get to that point where we can get out on the lawn, we can do some of these things, make sure if you're overseeding when it comes to that point in time that you're totally aware of, if you have a lawn care company that's taking care of your lawn throughout the course of the year, make sure that they know that you're overseeding and that they do not put down a pre-emergent.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Open that line of communication with your company and make sure that they're aware of what you're doing and you're aware of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for the ticket on the door.
No.
It's too late.
And I will also tell you this. I am seeing a lot of winter annual weeds. Just, they're ready to explode.
Yeah.
They're there. Yeah. I mean, you can see it. They germinated late last fall, and I'm seeing bittercress. I'm seeing just a number of things. I'm telling you, folks, when it warms up, the show's going to take off, and we're just going to be plagued with a lot of stuff. And all this moisture in the ground, it's crazy. You might want to seriously consider, if you get an opportunity, and again, it's awfully wet, you know, this upcoming month, we need to seriously start considering putting down our pre-emergent products, you know, like the lawn food, you know, high yields, turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper with Dimension, a wonderful, wonderful product that you can put in the landscape beds. And you just sprinkle it on top of the mulch. You don't always put this underneath the mulch. It's got to be on top of the mulch. And it works just like Preen. Most of you are very, very familiar with Preen. However, I want to say this. Both products are really good. They're excellent. I have to give the edge to High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper. You get an extra month protection out of it, 3 to 4 months, whereas with Preen, you get 3.
Right.
In addition to that, there's also a post-element effectiveness, and when I say post, that means even after something has just recently germinated, that High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper with Dimension, it will kill that. Okay? So you get a pre-effectiveness with it in addition to a post, whereas with Preen, you don't get both. So a huge, huge advantage for you as a homeowner. And look for these products at your local garden centers and nurseries.
Right.
You know, those who are Fertilume dealers, that's where you're going to find High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper. A great, great product. And I highly encourage you to use that a couple of times, not just once. a couple of times throughout the course of the season. And if you do, you'll be able to spend a lot of time with your family. You'll be able to spend a lot of time just doing some extracurricular activity outside, away from the home. Because you know why?
Why?
You're not on your knees or kneeling on a knee pad and pulling weeds.
Yep.
Nor are you spraying weeds.
No, no.
Great, great product. I can't say it enough.
We had our roundtable discussion with our local leaders this past week, and Todd from out of Baton's had a great comment. The most important thing to remember when you go to your local garden center is the A-team is always there and always on. You get the best solid advice from someone at your locally owned garden center.
Absolutely.
We need to pause for a moment, and when we come back.
Well, I still want to stay in this whole mode.
Okay.
And I also want to also touch base on, I'm seeing some winter damage, and Bob and I talked a little bit about that last week as well. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't try and do anything heroic.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about it when we come back. Give us a shout. 749-B105, Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. Don't forget, we're going to be hanging out down at the Home and Garden Center later on today, down at the Duke Energy Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out. Come up. Say hey to us. We're going to have a good time. I know Ernie's looking for some free drink tickets, but we'll be right back.
Welcome back in Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Yes, the ground is saturated, but you can still kind of get in that lawn mode. And we're talking a little bit about the winter seeding, overseeding, and some of the things you need to be careful about when it comes to your lawn.
Yeah, just stay off of it right now. Stay off of it, especially you, Ernie. We don't want any soil compaction. You know, you get out there in that soil or in the turf, it's just mushy. It's not good at all.
Yeah.
But what else, last but not least, what else I want to point out about all of this is, in the next couple of weeks, refrain from mulching and don't allow anybody to come in and do any mulching for you. The ground's too wet. It needs to air out. So once we get through this period and we start to dry out a little bit, when you can get out there and work on, you know, some of the various things in the landscape, you know, take a hard rake and just loosen up some of that mulch so we can get some oxygen down to the soil surface underneath it. So, again, refrain from mulching and do not allow anybody to come in and just start mulching.
Right.
Because that's just going to create some problems for you. Also, last week, Bob and I had kind of touched base about some various things. You know, we've had some cold snaps this winter. And, boy, I'll tell you what, we're more than likely to see some other future cold snaps as well. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news or bring that to you. That's just how it goes. I see it all the time. We'll warm up, like right now, late February. We'll stay warm in March. And all of a sudden, when you think things are ready to go and come along, you know, we get that cold snap in April, or we get that goofy last minute snowfall, you know, that heavy weighted snow. It's just the weirdest of things happen here in the tri-state area. During the latter part of the winter months.
Yeah, I always get so frustrated. We have those beautiful magnolia trees in front of the house. Mm-hmm. Love the bloom, love the smell, the scent, but inevitably it'll just start to happen, and then bam, we'll get that short, quick freeze or snowfall. They'll drop off, and it just gets ugly.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, especially with fruit trees too, you know, with our peach trees and so forth. You know, we don't want those to break and start, you know, where those bloom buds start to swell open, because all of a sudden, once it turns cold, it knocks them out.
Sure.
And then, you know, as a result of that, we get very little fruit production, if any. So that's what we're confronted with. You know, if you see something coming on gangbusters and you're starting to get that beautiful early bloom like we normally see, and it turns cold, if it's premature, it's all for nothing. We lose the beautiful spring blooming show.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. I'm across my fingers.
Me too.
So, you know, and going back to some things the other day, I thought this was very interesting. Mike Clare, who was the former horticultural agent out at Boone County over there in northern Kentucky, he's always posting really interesting photographs on Facebook. And if you don't know Mike is a very challenging individual. He really makes you think about things, and you're always on your toes. And he'll post various photographs like, does anyone know what this is? No nursery people comment on it.
Yeah. No green industry people.
But the other day, to my surprise, well, I'm not really surprised, but he had posted a photograph of, you know, a favorite shrub in this area, but it can also be a little suspect if we get into some really colder temperatures, and that's the cherry laurel, the skip. You know, sometimes the otolucans, they're evergreens, but when we get into some of those colder temperatures and so forth, they really seriously suffer some serious winter burn.
Okay.
And, oh my gosh, I mean, you talk about brown. And you know, that's a wait and see type of game. A lot of times people will cut back, you know, what's dead, what's died out in the skips or the otolucans, and, you know, just wait for it to rejuvenate itself and put on some new growth. So, you know, it's those situations where it's wait and see. Also, some of our boxwoods, you know, I'm seeing some boxwoods, you know, with a little bit of discoloration in them because of some of the colder temperatures.
Right.
Again, don't do anything right now right. or try and be a superhero. Just wait it out. Give things some time. Some of the hollies. I'm seeing some, you know, winter damage on some hollies. Also, you talk about a double whammy here.
Not the double whammy.
The double whammy.
Oh.
You know, the double dare. But, you know, a wonderful perennial that a lot of people gravitate towards. They love the fragrance that you get from this particular perennial.
Mm-hmm.
And that is lavender.
Oh, yeah.
We have two things going on right now with lavender. If it's a serious cold kind of winter, which we've had some cold temperatures.
Sure.
That wreaks havoc on lavender. Not to mention, it does not like wet feet.
Oh.
So right now, that's the double whammy element of this.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, you have two things against you, but if you lose your lavender, so be it. It won't break the bank. You get back out to the garden center this spring and you buy another one. You buy some more. So, and you know, crepe myrtles too. They kind of fall into this category as well. Do you remember the winter of 2012?
Very well.
It was brutal, Ernie. Yes, it was brutal.
Yeah.
And I was betting the next season. I thought, you know what?
Chicken
perfect,
butt.
Perfect time for me to plant a tree form crepe myrtle.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. But that's what I like about the green industry. Take some chances.
Yeah.
You know, take some risk. Make something happen. We have all these little microclimates around our homes. You may be surprised. And also, last but not least, Ernie, I know you have a beautiful magnolia, southern magnolia in your yard.
Love it.
I just noticed one of ours down at the garden center. It's been in the ground for a number of years. It has sustained some serious winter burn.
Oh, no.
But,
yeah.
You know, we're about as far north as you want to bring a southern magnolia. Right, we're talking about, you know, like Bracken's Brown, D.D. Blanchard, and things like that. But don't worry. A little time, a little patience, and they'll come right out of it. So those are just some things I want to point out. Don't do anything heroic. Don't be the superhero. And put that big towel on your back like it's a new cape, like Ernie wants to. Give things a little bit of time as we progress throughout the spring months.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. You have to pause for a moment when we come back.
Hey, you know, it's raining today. I know we've been just dwelling on the precipitation and all this moisture. We're obviously not going to be outside, Ernie, but let's take it indoors, you know, down to Duke Energy Convention Center.
Okay.
The Home and Garden Show is going on. We're going to talk about some of our local leaders that we want you to stop by and pay them a visit while you're down there.
It's a great thing to do. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Don't let the rain get you down. Come on down to the Duke Energy Center for the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree any more with
it. It's going to be fun.
Yes. And we have a lot of our local leaders that are big major players here at in and around the house and have been just great to us over the years and very supportive. And we want you to support them, too. They are local leaders in our community. And we say this all the time. On average, 68 cents of every dollar that you spend locally stays in the local economy.
Yeah.
In comparison to if you buy from an out-of-town company, a big box store type of company, only 43 cents. That's a huge amount.
Yeah.
So when you think about that in percentages, you know, we need to support our local businesses and stay local. So it's so, so important. But Bard's Nursery, they do a wonderful setup down there. Bob and I talked a little bit about what all goes on, all, everything that's involved with setting up for the show. And he was on pins and needles, a lot of things that he forces. He came on a little too early because of the warm weather. So it's just trying to time that all out is it's a tough chore to do. And also Maddox Garden Center, Scott Maddox out there in Florence. He will have a presence at the Holman Garden Show. Stop by their booth if you're looking to have someone look at any type of landscape designs and so forth. You can certainly do that. And again, too, at Bob's, you know, Bard's Nursery, they also do landscape designs. So definitely stop by their booth as well. We were just talking about that a moment ago. Mills Fence, you just heard that commercial just a moment ago during the break. Great people. And whenever you see the Mills Fence sign on a fence, Ernie, you know it was done right.
That's right.
So definitely stop down there. If you're looking to do something around the property line or fence things in, or if you have a swimming pool, you know, that's a must too. You know, it's required by law. Safety first. You need to have the proper height fence around your pool, and it needs to be locked. Also, Margie Warnicky from Bushman Supply. We're going to stop by and see her. If you're looking for any type of hardscaping, patios, fire pits, boulders, you name it, if you can't find it at Bushman Supply, I don't know where else to tell you to go. I really don't. I'm just saying that.
If that old commercial, if we don't have it, you don't need it.
She has a lot of inventory up there at Bushman Supply.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just about hardscaping either with Bushman Supply. They're also number one in garage doors. So keep them in mind. You know, they've done some work for me at the garden center. So it's all kinds of things there. You get great service from Bushman Supply. Also, you know, we're talking about our good friend Ryan Houlihan, who's going to be joining us this morning here in the last hour of the program from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. They've done a lot of work for me. So they, too, they'll have a wonderful presence down there at the Home and Garden Show. And if I'm not mistaken, they typically hand out small trees. So important.
Oh, really?
Always keep that in mind. So stop by Arlinghouse Heating and Air. Tell them you heard it here on In and Around the House. And also, if you like to hang out around the house a lot and you're into hot tubs, pools, outdoor furniture, our good friends at Watson's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, create that outdoor living space and spend time in it.
Absolutely. So definitely check out our local leaders at the Home and Garden Show, like I said earlier in the program. You're more than likely to run into Ernie and myself down there. We're going to be hanging out. What time are we
going
to get there?
Going down probably around 10 o'clock.
Around
I think
10
is when
o'clock.
It opens, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you'll probably see him over at the beverage booth. So if he starts panhandling, you know, I just.
Hey, pal, you're going to use that drink ticket.
Yeah. I'll stop that.
Yeah.
I won't let him bother you. You know, by the way, too, not to change the subject.
But go ahead.
Last week, Christine, Mello, and I, we had a great meeting with Advantage Roofing over there in Norwood.
Oh, yeah.
And I had been after Advantage Roofing for some time. They put a roof on my home back in 2008. And I will tell you this. I was out of town. And do you remember that was the year when it was in the fall? I was up on the East Coast at a garden center show when I flew back into Cincinnati. That's when Hurricane Ike.
Right. Had gone through.
Yeah, had gone through. And, oh, my gosh, I saw all those blue tarps and various tarps on rooftops. As we were landing in Cincinnati, that's all you would see are the blue tarps. And I had just, Advantage Roof had just put a new shingled roof on my home at that time. I'm thinking, oh, I hope everything's there. By gosh, it was.
Yeah. Gotta make it happen.
Had the dimensional shingles. Everything was in play. I was just like, gosh, you know, everybody's going to get a new roof now with an insurance deal.
Sure.
And I just bought one. But anyway, we met with Tim from Advantage Roof. Great company. They were very clean. And this is what was most important to me. I don't know if I ever told you this or not. Everything was just like in perfect order. They had a nice clean hopper. His staff was wonderful. I didn't have all that stuff lying around the foundation of my house. And most importantly, they didn't tear up my landscape plans. So check out Advantage Roofing. If you want to give them a call, they're over there in Norwood, 513-467-6631. Quality job there all the way around, and I can attest to it. So just want to tell you that. And last but not least, I know you're the big painter around here. So Katie and I got out, and we were visiting with our good friends at Sherwin-Williams Paint.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite paints. And even Karen Sackstetter, she would always say she loves Sherwin-Williams Paints. Have you ever painted with their cashmere?
Yes.
And they got a higher, you know, they got the emerald mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
But the cashmere, you can't beat it. But hopefully they become partners of In and Around the House. And certainly they have a lot of value to bring to the local community, and they are part of the local community. So keep that in mind, Ernie.
I will.
Just want to point that out. I know you like the paint.
All right. 749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment, and when we come back.
You know, I want to touch base on something that you don't hear a lot about like you used to, and that is ground covers. And just what is a ground cover? What can you use that makes for a wonderful ground cover? I love ground covers, and I think they have a value that they add to the landscape. So when we come back, we'll talk about some ground covers. Give us a shout here, 749-B105, Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And don't forget that if you want to check out a past show, John does a great job with our podcast. Also, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page. And in addition to that, we've been getting a lot of emails from our listeners. And thank you, by the way. I do my best to answer those in a timely fashion. That is in and around the house at B105.com. We got to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Several ways to stay in touch with us. Jump onto our Facebook page, or you can email us as well, in and around the house at b105.com. Tony's about to touch on one of my favorite subjects. I love ground cover. Anything from English ivy to creeping phlox, I just think that that's a huge asset, especially when you're trying to cover something like our hill. And there's one of Tony's favorite subjects.
Oh, my hill. Every time I watch the Olympics, I think about your mountain, your ski slope.
Man. You know what? It's kind of funny you say that. Is the boys did that, and even a couple of our little neighborhood children over the years. We've been there for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They would come to just that little slope in the back and then slide down. It was always fun to watch.
Oh, that thing's treacherous now. It's dangerous.
No, it's looking really, really good. We have been taking your advice over the years and adding ornamental grasses and plants that will populate mm-hmm. an area, like mm-hmm. daisies,
mm-hmm.
Lilies, and all kinds of things. So what are your favorites?
You know, when it comes to ground covers, I have a lot of favorites. And really, a ground cover, what is a ground cover? You know, it can be really anything that just where it fills a specified area or a given area.
Right.
You know, that could be a ground cover. It could be a low-growing shrub, a number of those, you know, just planted in a mass kind of planting, you know, right. like a drift of whatever. I remember one time down at the new Paul Brown Stadium, it's not so new anymore. You know, they did a lot of mass plantings of various things. And one of them was Itea. You know, it was just the whole hillside was just planted up in a mass planting of Itea.
I haven't heard of
that. Which
is
a shrub, you know, it's called Virginia Sweet Spire. But anything can really be a ground cover. If you have a shady area and you plant a lot of hostas, although they're various heights, you know, and they just start taking over and covering things,
mm-hmm.
they're a ground cover.
Sure.
So really, a ground cover can be anything that you plant in a massive type of setting or planting or a drift or whatever that covers
or occupies a lot of space.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And probably, you know, one of my favorites, we don't even hardly talk about it anymore. And it's been around for a long, long time. If you have a shade garden, and which I used to primarily have down in the backyard, this particular ground cover that's down in my backyard, I don't even look at it. And just every year it's there, it's reliable, it's beautiful. And it once it gets established, it will just take off by underground rhizomes, and it'll do everything for you that you want it to do. Maybe more.
What's that?
It's called Pachysandra.
Pachysandra.
One of my favorites. Absolutely.
Huh.
Now, a lot of times, too, you know, people think about English ivy, like you mentioned. I like English ivy. I used to have quite a bit of it, one called Baltica that I lost a great deal of it back in 2012 because of the winter, in addition to what the deer chewed on. You know, during those winter months when it's bad and so forth, the deer will eat you out of a house and home. They really, really will. And, of course, I'm not out there putting stuff on the, you know, spraying things or using deer scram or anything of the sort to keep them away. It's too daggone cold. I'm not getting out in the yard. I'm sorry. But, you know, English ivy is really nice if you keep it in bounds. And we used to get a lot of calls about people wanting to rip it out or wanting a quick fix, a quick spray, remember?
Sure. Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is one you have to do a lot of physical work.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
once it's established, it takes an awful lot of work to get rid of it.
That does. Yeah. Another one that I really like a lot that's been around, low growing, is Ajuga. Wonderful ground cover.
You've thrown out a couple here I've not heard of.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. I can throw out more that you've not heard of. You don't want me to step on you like that, do you? Like a ground cover?
I'm accustomed to it, but go ahead.
Oh, come on. There you go.
You know, so probably, what else you got in your little bag of tricks there? That's
well,
cool.
You know, Ajuga I like a lot because there's various types of Ajuga that you have to select from. And, you know, one of my favorites has kind of got a nice variegation to it. It's called Burgundy Glow. That's been around for a long time. You have Black Scallop. You have Chocolate Chip, which is kind of small and dainty.
Mm-hmm.
Bronze Beauty. Keep in mind, though, when you're using Ajuga, it will fill in very, very quickly. It's a wonderful look, especially if you have like rock gardens or various areas where you have stone. It's a wonderful look, nice contrast.
Right.
But keep in mind, as the Ajuga really starts to come together, it's very, very important that you thin it out because it will ultimately end up getting a crown rot. And you just start getting dieback and you'll just start pulling, you know, just dead crowns out.
Sure.
So if you thin it out, what you're doing, you're opening it up a little bit. You're allowing it to remain aggressive, and it will fill back in. But you just thin it out. Give some of it to some of your friends, families, and neighbors. But what you want to do is kind of keep it open a little bit so you get air to it. It doesn't stay too moist, and you get that crown rot.
Sure.
So just a little bit of tip with the Ajuga. Well, I'll tell you one that's crazy, too. It's got its place for various things, is the old Euonymus Purple Winter Creeper.
Mm,
You might even see that in areas, if you live in a woodland area that's kind of volunteered with some of the wild stuff. But that can be a decent ground cover, given the situation. Another one of my favorites, too, is Vinca, a.k.a. Creeping Myrtle. I like Vinca. Doesn't want to be in a wet place. You know, we were talking a lot early in the show about moisture, but I like Vinca Minor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, like, bluish bloom on it. It, too, can be very nice. It likes a little bit of dry shade, maybe some morning sun. And another good old standby, and you're familiar with this one, is Liriope.
Mm-hmm.
Liriope is very popular still today. You probably see more of the variegated variety of Liriope being used. A lot of landscapers will use it. It too can make for a nice, wonderful ground cover, you know, a nice look. So keep that in mind. You know, another one that I like a lot too that you just mentioned was the Creeping Phlox.
Oh man.
Boy, if it would just bloom longer.
Yeah. It would be much nicer if it would bloom a little longer.
Oh, it's just, boy, early in the season when it comes into bloom, it's so.
It's just beautiful. Drop dead gorgeous. It's just
it really
beautiful.
Is. And when it's massive, you know, when you see it in like a sea of pinks or a sea of blues, it could be the white.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. But the only problem is, you know, after the show's over with the blooms, it's just you got green carpet.
Yeah. And then when other little seeds get in there, then you have to kind of wade through it to mm-hmm. weed it out. If not, something else will take it over.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Lamium, spotted dead nettle.
Mm.
That's another nice ground cover. White Nancy. It will spread. It likes dry shade. And if it ever gets a little ratty on you for any reason or another,
uh-huh.
just cut it back and it responds. It bounces back favorably. So I always liked Lamium. I think it has a place in the shade garden. You certainly use, you know, mass plantings of various types of ferns. They make for a wonderful ground cover. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's the taller growing ostrich fern, Ernie, you know, it gets, you know, I can get up to 3 feet in height, give or take. That's wonderful. The Japanese painted, gosh, you talk about something reliable. The Japanese painted fern gets about 15 inches in height. Nice spread. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Like it.
Looking forward to
it. Last but not least, I have to say, and again, these are just some things that come to mind. There's a lot of stuff that you can plant. Like I said, hostas and various things. Microbiota, which is a real low evergreen growing type of ground cover. They can spread up to 6 to 10 feet wide. Turns a nice bronze color in the fall. Gets about 10 inches in height. That's a cool ground cover if you're looking for something evergreen. But I like sweet woodruff. That's a natural, nice ground cover. Gets about 6 to 12 inches in height. You know, shady areas will tolerate a little bit of moisture. But sweet woodruff's really nice to consider as well. Sedums will do well for you in sunny spots. Delasperma has been really popular in recent years. They call that the ice plant. Beautiful blooms on it. Does a wonderful job. You know, I think we need to talk more about ground covers than what we do.
Sure.
They were at one time really, really popular. Are you familiar with the steppables?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, these are little types of ground covers that you can buy that are low growing, like creeping thyme and so forth, that you can plant in between stones. And they can take a little bit of foot traffic.
I like that.
So there's a lot of stuff that you can do with, with ground covers. But, you know, I'm just getting excited, Ernie, to think about the season.
Sure.
It's coming upon us.
Quickly.
I talk to everybody. They're planting up plugs. You know, they got the perennials planted up. We're all looking forward to our trees and shrubs and other things coming into the garden center. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be a great, great season.
I agree. 7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. And when we come back,
well, we'll just stay in the landscape. There's some things that we're going to need to consider doing here just shortly. And we'll touch base on some of those when we come back. Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And always keep in mind, if you, the best way to stay in touch with us is via our Facebook page. Go out there. You got to like us. You can't not like us. I know a lot of people always speak favorably of us, Ernie. They always have kind things to say. They enjoy listening to us. And thank you for the wonderful comments. Also, feel free to send us an email. You can do that at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. And also, if you want to catch a past show, if you're doing something, or if you're working out at the gym and you have means of tuning into a podcast, Johnny always keeps that up to date, so you're also able to do that as well. And don't forget, at the 8 o'clock hour this morning, if by chance you think you might need to be thinking about a new furnace or air conditioning unit this upcoming spring season, summer months, Ryan Julian from Arlinghouse Heating and Air will be joining us. He's our expert. We're going to talk about some things that you need to think about and seriously consider, because they're going to be down at the Home and Garden Show as well, Ernie.
Mm-hmm. And I have to share a story that we went to Arlinghouse to get to a company that cleaned our ducts. They recommended, I'm trying to find, Lisa took care of all of this. So high-tech duct cleaning, came to the house, spent a couple of hours there. It had been long overdue. And I have to tell you, noticeable results. I was always getting up in the morning, and I have bad allergies to begin with. But it was always kind of rough early in the morning, sneezing and coughing, and that's been reduced dramatically because of the duct cleaning and how efficient they were. So we're very happy about that. I'll have to share that with Ryan when he gets here. And also have to ask him how the training junket went. I follow him on Facebook, and I saw him post a couple of pictures of the Arlinghouse crew heading out of town to get some special training. And it looked like there was a little fun involved there, too. So we'll find out what that's all about.
You might know something that I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Which you know a lot that I don't. What can I say? Hey. Just so you know, too, you know, things are really moving fast, you know, as we're fast approaching. I mean, next week when we're in here, it's going to be March.
Yeah.
So what do we need to think about? What do you think about that? You know, provided we can dry out a little bit, I'm going to throw a couple things your way that you really seriously need to consider or do if you have yet to do it. One of those is a little bit of garden cleanup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I say that, I mean, it's all that stuff that we left in our raised bed gardens or perhaps some of our pots or our urns, you name it, window boxes, all the last year's growth and plant debris. That's not good to let that lie around because you can end up paying the price for that because a lot of times, you know, that's where diseases harbor themselves and then all of a sudden they make way and get into our plants the following season.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, you know, start cleaning up the landscape beds, the garden beds, and definitely wait till we dry out a little bit. But these are things you need to start thinking about. Also, leaves, you know, if you allow some of those leaves to lie around that you didn't rake up in the fall, you know, a lot of times leaves can be detrimental to lawns. You know, they stay in a grouping. They stay wet, like with all this rain we've been having. They end up smothering the lawn out. And all of a sudden, you got these, you know, little patches and little spots in your lawn mm-hmm. that are suspect. You know, you're trying to get things to grow. That's not good. So try and get some of that stuff up.
You know, I'm surprised every winter where these leaves appear from. During the fall, we mulch, we rake, we bag, and then we move to the compost bin. And some of them we dispose of using those lawn bags, those biodegradable lawn bags. But they're also, they seem to come out of nowhere. Like where my garage or my driveway goes down to my garage, suddenly they're collecting there. The walkout from the garage back out to the back part of the yard. They start collecting there. Where do they come from?
I don't know. I have a few areas like that. Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, I clean things up and I can look out there next week and like, where did all you leaves come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's right there by the corner of my garage.
Yeah.
And then when you open the garage door up and it's windy, they all get inside.
They all come inside. And they can make their way into your landscape bed and into your garden areas. And they do need to be cleaned out again. Don't try to do it now because of...
it's a little moist. These are just things that you need to start thinking about if you haven't already. You know, also I mentioned a little earlier in the program, you know, it's been really wet. Get an opportunity, take a hard rake or the old garden weasel. That was a great tool.
Oh, yeah.
In its heyday, yeah. I have one. You remember you could buy that on WXIX TV.
Oh, yeah.
And three easy monthly installments.
But wait,
if you order now, we'll throw an extra one in there, but you pay extra shipping.
Yeah. I know. And we have one, and Lisa uses it quite often.
You know, that's a great tool
to
turn up and loosen your mulch, which in turn makes your beds look a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, we're getting oxygen to the soil surface and so critical, especially right now for our trees and shrubs and perennials, you know, just getting oxygen to that soil surface where we can open it up. And again, don't mulch
mm-hmm.
right now. That's the worst thing you can do. Also, another little tip. We're not far away from cutting back some of our ornamental grasses.
Yeah.
You've yet to do
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do it. You know, just wait a little bit, make sure we're out of the clear. A lot of times people will cut them back a little too early
mm-hmm.
if they start pushing growth because of the warm temperatures.
Sure.
What ultimately ends up happening is, you know, the crowns could be damaged a little bit from cold temperatures.
You know, that leads me to ask you a question.
Certainly.
I know you always tell me about pruning back fruiting trees,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. Is there a window of opportunity here if you hadn't done that? Can you do that before it gets too warm?
We have plenty of time.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to postpone that a little bit, too, because, you know, things are warming up, and especially with peach trees,
yeah,
you have to be extremely careful and not to prune too much out, because if you prune a lot out or you do it too early,
yeah,
what may ultimately end up happening is this. You're removing some flowering buds, which are fruit producing.
Right.
And those that swell open a little bit prematurely because we get early warm ups and you get that cold snap.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, yeah. So you kind of want to put that off a little bit.
Okay.
Typically, one of the first trees that you want to start pruning or shaping are the apple trees.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, we had a caller last week about that. In addition to, Just talked to David Kester the other day, and he will be joining us March 24th.
Oh, great.
To talk about pruning fruit trees and other edibles. So that's on the horizon. We'll talk more about that scheduled date. David Kester, a wealth of knowledge. He, you know, when he was younger, worked in a lot of orchards and so forth. Mm-hmm. So just bringing that knowledge here into the studio and sharing that with everybody that's interested in fruit trees is awesome. So I've always had the utmost respect for David Kester. He does a great job. He is now the lead horticultural agent out at the Boone County Extension Office. There's some great classes coming up out there, too. I need to take a look at that and pass it along to you folks that are interested in growing potatoes or onions and onion sets and stuff like that. Check out their Facebook page or their website. You can get a lot of that information and certainly sign up. And, you know, not just Boone County's Extension Office. Also, Sarah does a great job over there in Campbell County, and Michelle does a great job out there in Kenton County. So any one of the three extensions over there in Northern Kentucky, there's always something going on that's interesting. Yeah. And, you know, the other day you had mentioned something about, you know, Todd was doing the hands-on class out there at the Boone County Arboretum, you know, with the maple syrup. You know, the maple trees are starting to run now. Stuff like that. There's always stuff going on at the Arboretum as well. So certainly go onto their websites and visit those entities. A lot of great information.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment when we come back.
Continue the things you need to think about as we approach March and as we turn the corner and go into the spring.
And keep in mind, coming up in a little over a half an hour, our friend Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse is going to be joining us. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Several ways to stay connected with us, 749-B105. Give us a call, or you can jump onto our Facebook page, look us up and like us. Tony works very hard at sharing an awful lot of great information about plants and lawn care, that sort of thing. You can also connect with the rest of our local leaders through our Facebook page. We're going to be stopping down at the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show at Duke Energy Center after the show this morning and spending a little time down there talking with all of those people and several of you guys. Hopefully we will run across you, our paths will cross, and we'll share some more information there too. Plus, in and around the house at b105.com. Tony said he got an awful lot of emails in the last week or so. And we've been talking about a lot of different things, ground cover, the moisture, lawn care.
And yeah. Just a lot of things we need to really start thinking about. And I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I think this is going to be a great spring season. Yeah. I really am. You know, and all of us who are involved in the horticultural world, this is what we ramp up for.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You know, just the other day, I mean, right now, you know, we've had some really decent temperatures. The pansies are looking awesome, but it's too wet to plant.
Yeah.
You know, but think about those window boxes. Think about those containers that you have on the front porch. I can't think of a better way to make those cheery looking than to use the big old pansy bloom in them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my other favorites, they're starting to gain popularity again, I think, because they're fragrant, are the little violas, the Johnny Jump-Ups. Love them, love them, love them. And when I walk by flats of violas and Johnny Jump-Ups, it's fragrant as all get out. So you can start finding some of these things. These are going to be best suited for you for early color, stuff that's still going to be able to take, you know, maybe a light snowfall, heavy snowfall, so to speak, because the pansies will bounce back.
Uh-huh.
They'll take a freeze. The pansies that we just got in, the guy was telling me the other day, they've been frozen, and they're beautiful. So really? They've hardened off. Okay. That's what you want. They've been hardened off, so they will do what they're supposed to do. And here's the beauty of it. Think about pansies. I say this all the time at the beginning of March.
Why?
Because most people start thinking about pansies mid-April.
Yeah.
And you just lost 6 weeks of bloom.
Ooh, okay. That's a good point.
Okay. So you plant them in mid-April. Guess what? You got 4 weeks to go, and they're looking stellar, but yet it's time to put in annuals. So go after those at the beginning of March. Look for these. Look for the pansies. Look for the violas at your local garden centers and nurseries. Yep. A burst of color, big time. Really one of the best that you can plant, because we're still going to have some cold temperatures, mm-hmm. and they're going to tolerate it.
Yeah. They look great at the garden center. They're going to look much better in your landscape beds.
A lot better.
Yeah.
Say that again, much better.
Much more better.
Much more better. There you go. That's what I'm talking about, Ernie.
I had to throw a little
put them there in the landscape over them there, you know. Yeah. I like it, see?
Yeah, throw a little Tonyism on
you. You always get me on that. I catch myself, though. I know when when it's not right.
Right.
But my wife always lets me know. I got a real boneheaded thing that you said today, Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, Tina will tell you.
Thanks, dear.
I will butcher the English language. I butcher, like, sayings. I am the best at butchering, like, sayings.
See, yeah.
You know, what was the... Berg is the worm, early worm. What is it? What's the saying there?
The early bird gets the worm.
The early bird. Okay.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's sayings like that that I can just tear it all apart.
Well, I wonder why. I guess birds don't like flying in the rain either, because there's a real buffet outside our studio. When you come to the radio station, the parking lot is covered with earthworms. The sidewalk is covered with them. And that's how saturated the ground is.
You know, when you see that, that's how bad that it truly is.
Yeah.
And guess what? They are out of the ground because there isn't any oxygen in the ground.
Yeah. They're suffocating.
So, what that does, that's not good for plants either.
No.
So what you have is soil and moisture and no oxygen. It's all removed. It's all gone. You know, and the good thing about it is our plants are still dormant and they can tolerate it because of that, but boy, if it was prolonged, it would be good night, Irene.
Sure.
It would be lights out. But anyway, some other things that you need to start considering and thinking about is, you know, we're talking about pruning back the ornamental grasses anytime in the month of March. In addition to that, you can start thinking about pruning back some of your rose bushes anytime during the month of March. You know, take them back to about 10 to 12 inches, with the exception of climbers. Leave those alone.
Why?
Unless you're just trying to shape those.
Okay.
Because that's what you want.
All right.
You know, it takes years for climbers really to fully develop. And once they do, I mean, they can put on one heck of a show. So it's pretty much the rule of thumb right there. Also, pick up your systemic drench. You know, we talk about that often, you know, for trees and shrubs to keep and protect them throughout the course of the growing season. You know, if you've had issues with the rose slug on your rose bushes, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You get all those holes in the leaves. That's not any good. You know, they're ugly. They don't look good. You know, use your tree and shrub systemic drench on your rose bushes. If you have azaleas, typically they're stricken with lace bug. They can wreak havoc on azaleas. You can always tell if the foliage on the azalea looks really stippled or kind of light green, spotty, that's usually an indicator. Boxwoods, keep the leaf miners out of them. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, they can live right in between the leaf. Also, psyllids that love boxwoods. So the systemic tree and shrub drench will protect your boxwoods. Or any type of sucking type of insect, it will keep off of your trees and shrubs. Aphids in particular. We all know what aphids can do. We know what aphids like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just hang out and party. Aphids can really wreak a lot of havoc on some of our trees and shrubs. So just keep that in mind. Also, we're going to be talking a lot this year about kind of putting a new twist on a three-step program from Fertilume. I want you to get out to your local garden centers and nurseries that are Fertilume dealers. And where we're headed with this is the three-step plus.
Plus, and the plus is.
And the plus is. Thank you, Ernie. And what is the plus, Tony? The plus is weed-free zone. It's a selective herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's face it. And I'm asked this often. You know, how come sometimes I still get dandelions in my lawn? I've been using a three-step program. Well, usually it's because they creep in later in the season. You know, think about it. That first step, all seasons, with prodiamine, it forms a little barrier on the top layer of the soil surface. And what it does, it keeps weed seed from germinating. However, as we progress throughout the season, that barrier, it starts to get a little thin.
Uh-huh.
So it's not as protectant as it was early in the season,
right,
when it was at its strongest. So therefore, things still creep into our lawns late in the season. And I'll throw a little tip out there, which you can do. But the three-step plus, the plus element is weed-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, there's times when things sneak in.
Right.
We have to use products like weed-free zone just to go after some of the clover that might...
Broadleaf weed.
Yeah, broadleaf weeds. Yeah. You know, you start sometimes, maybe your neighbor's got a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, those guys come into your yard.
Sure they do.
So we're going after dandelions. We're going after a little bit of clover. You know, just various things.
Mm-hmm.
And weed-free zone's one of the best. And keep in mind, when we talk about the three-step program, the three-step plus, you have to have a lawn. You know, I don't care what you use or somebody's doing your lawn care for you. If you don't have a lawn, then you can't take care of it.
Let's clarify that statement just a little bit.
If you have more weeds than turf, or if you have a lot of bare spots in your lawn, just because you use these products does not mean that you're going to go after tomorrow as the magic bullet and you have this beautiful lawn.
There's work to do before you get to that.
Absolutely. So we need to determine, are we going to sow grass seed or not? And when we do it is very important. You know, it's all about timing. So you have to establish the turf.
Right.
You have to get it growing. But once you do with the Fertilum three-step program, the three-step plus, what we're doing is we're strengthening the lawn. It's getting thicker. It's getting healthier.
Right.
It's more robust.
Sure.
And we're helping it when we fertilize it twice in the fall to make it go through some of the cold winters that we have. So you got to have a lawn first. It's not the magic bullet. Right. I mean, you could use whatever company's product. It's not going to matter. You got to have turf first.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Ryan Houlihan from Arling House is going to be joining us here at 8 o'clock. And Tony, for the record, my friend Les Barlow sent me a message that just simply says, much more betterer.
Much more better.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, getting geared up. We're going to go on the road and head down to the Cincinnati Home and Garden Center show following our show this morning and check out some of our local leaders and hang out for a little while down there. And we also have our friend Ryan Houlihan from Arling House Heating and Air. It's going to be coming by at 8 o'clock, but we've been covering a lot of ground, talking a lot about the record level rainfall we've been having. It's going to continue today. The ground is saturated. Don't try to get out on it, but get ready to get there when it does warm up by getting to your locally owned garden center.
Do you have any information for us on the river levels right now? What's expected? What's expected to crest out at? Or
well, that I was watching curious. The yeah. news yeah. the other morning, and it was interesting to the anchor on the news said that this is good for everybody that lives along the Ohio River. It's going to be cresting today at, I think he said 56 or 57 feet, something
it's
like
more
that.
More than that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let me finish my story.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, let's check the weather. And so he goes over to the weather girl. The weather girl says, we're expected to get another 2 to 4 inches of rain in the next 48 hours. So that means the Ohio River level is going to exceed what we first projected. So I'm not really certain. It's still climbing. And I did see in the Inquirer this morning where our friends down in Rabbit Hash are emptying out the store, hoping to keep Old Man River out of there. But I said, I kind of chuckled a little bit. A lot of people nitpicky about the restoration of the general stores. Well, it's just not like the original because the floors weren't warped. Well, maybe the old Ohio River wants to fix that problem.
I don't think I'd want that warped look.
No.
That's kind of a warped way of thinking.
It is.
How about it that, yeah. Ernie?
So they're unloading it and hoping that it's does not get into the general store.
Oh, nothing worse than being flooded out.
I know.
You know, I just remember some of those springs years past when a lot of people in Covington were flooded out because of, you know, sewage couldn't, you know, take it. Nowhere for it to go.
I also saw a little video that someone posted about the Markland Dam farther down the river, and the river is just cascading over top of the dam. There aren't any locks right now. It's all full.
Crazy, isn't it? I always wonder too, like, how do the piers on a lot of these bridges that span the Ohio River mm-hmm. stay in place.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. You would think, I mean, the water's powerful. I mean, there's a lot of force behind water. And I don't know if you told Lisa or not that you drove through some this morning.
But
you
should not.
Don't drown. Turn around.
You know
you have a tendency to tear things up and get in a little trouble.
You like to stir it up, don't you?
Well, you had a car up and tell her about the towel bar that you tore up. So you might as well tell her about you driving through the water this morning down there in Bromley.
He's making that up, sweetie. I did not.
You're not supposed to do those things, you know? You're supposed to set a good example for everybody.
I just got a text again from our friend Les Barlow. Right now the river is at 56.7, and it's projected to crest at 59 plus.
So I guess, was that just... Is that just below what it was, where it crested in 1997?
I don't have that info handy.
You're like a data junkie. I thought you'd have that. interesting.
But we will. Yeah. We'll get that.
But, you know, something else I want to talk about. As we approach the spring season, this is so, so important. If you really have to do some serious renovation with your landscape, or if you're preparing to move into a new home, or you did late last fall and you did not get an opportunity to do some landscape design, take some photographs, take some measurements, get that sun exposure, you know, on a nice, warm, you know, clear day. Take all that information, go into your local garden center or nursery, your landscaper, and say, hey, this is what I'm working with. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, nothing more gratifying than designing something. If you need a little bit of help with somebody from the garden center or nursery and you doing the installation yourself, or if you're not up to that challenge and you want somebody else to do it, like Barge Nursery or Maddox Nursery, or you want the guys out at Baton's, anybody that does landscape installs, you know, Burgers, you know, get with them early in the season, not when we're in the season, because what happens is you're put back on the burner, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the spring. That's when everybody needs things done. The sooner you prepare for it and get ready, the sooner you get the install.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's so important. I can't say that enough. And, you know, don't go into the garden center or nursery and say, I got an area that goes about from here at your counter over mm-hmm. to that wall, and it kind of curves, and stick your foot up and go, it goes like over there a little bit. You know, measure it. We're going to be best suited to help you. If the more information you bring us and provide,
sure,
the better we're going to be helping you. And then when you do the install or you have it done, we only want to do it one time.
Yeah. You get a much better shot at success without guesstimates.
Absolutely. and really know what a plant is capable of growing to is so, so important. Mm. And if you don't know, look it up or ask someone at your local garden center or nursery. And always remember this, the heights that we talk about that a tree can potentially grow to or a shrub, those are just averages.
Yeah.
And if you stay within those parameters, you'll be fine. Or if you try to get that instant effect, that look right now, and believe me, a lot of people try and do that, you end up ripping out a third or at least half of what you planted. And you're just creating unnecessary work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Tony, we just had one of our listeners give us a call. It's 1997. It was 64 feet. The river is, according to this listener, expected to crest between 58 and 62 feet. So we might just fall a little short. And my friend Les just said, I just drove over it. It's pretty close to 60. So do be careful. And like Tony said, don't drown, turn around, don't drive through that. I don't care how many of those commercials you saw where your four-wheel SUV is driving through high water and they're touting how wonderful that is.
It doesn't take much moving water to get underneath a vehicle and move it on down the river.
Agreed.
Then all of a sudden they're throwing ropes your way if they can get to you.
So there's
a lot of stuff there. It's just, I don't know. But, hey, top of the hour, we have our good friend Ryan Houlihan is going to be visiting with us from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. Always looking forward to, you know, I always enjoy talking with Ryan.
Yep. Wealth of information.
Oh, my gosh. You might have him at your house and just do a little testing with your air quality.
Mm-hmm.
See how good it is.
Well, especially now since we went through our house and got the duct cleaned.
Absolutely. And we're going to be hanging out down at the Home and Garden Show.
Gonna
actually, I need to get a hold of Bob because he's going to score us up.
Drink tickets?
I don't think passes
to get in.
Ernie, I don't. We're going to be working, buddy. I don't want you just going on down there thinking that's some big party.
It's always a party when I'm with you after work.
It doesn't work like that.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We also have the plant of the week.
We better sneak it in there when we come back because Ryan will probably be here.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what it is. It's a beauty.
It is. We're going to pause. We'll be right back.
Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, in and around the house, is ready with your plant of the week.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, plant of the week. You know, we're this close to the season kicking off, and we want you to be geared up, and every week we're going to give you something new to consider.
Absolutely. And this is one of those plants that is highly, highly, highly prized in the garden.
Yeah.
And actually, as a matter of fact, Steve Lowe from Baton's, he sent me a photograph of his the other day. And he just sent the photograph and said, plant of the week.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have agreed anymore.
Since you brought Steve up, we do want to congratulate him on the birth of his second grandchild.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's very proud of that. And congratulations.
Keep him busy.
Grandpa.
Hopefully he cultivates some young gardeners.
There you go.
That's what we need from Steve. Most importantly. Cultivate young gardeners. But highly prized tenants in the shade garden, and that is the Lenten rose.
What an appropriate plant of the week.
And actually, it's called Helleborus, but right now they're in bloom. And hence the name Lenten rose. Usually you see them when we get to that point in the year, it's Lent. And that's when they're starting to turn on and gear up and start giving us that wonderful bloom show. So this is a plant, a perennial. A few years ago, I think it was the perennial plant of the year, if I'm not mistaken, but I can't tell you the year. But very tolerant of dry shade once it's established.
Okay.
And it will stay mostly, at least semi-evergreen, mostly evergreen throughout the winter months. Easy to grow. They aren't fussy like you. They'll bloom their heads off, the bloom show is late winter through early spring, and their flowers will last a long, long time. They're deer resistant. They're rabbit resistant. What more
could
a gardener ask for? Absolutely. What more can a gardener ask for? That's all I can say. You know, like I said, they're common names, the Lenten rose. That's because you generally can expect to see them starting that wonderful bloom period right there around the beginning of Lent. One of my favorite attributes of this particular plant, Ernie, is the way the blooms kind of appear and look. They're somewhat nodding. They nod down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like as if you walk through the garden or you walk close by to the Lenten rose, they're like nodding at you, like welcoming you into the garden, and saying hello. Welcome to our world.
Right.
So really, really cool. They're available in a number of various colors, you know, typically white, green. There's even some that have more of an apricot color, tangerine, pink, dark purple that almost appears to be a black.
Ooh.
But this is a stellar plant, perennial, to have in the garden.
Love that.
If you love perennials and you really value something that's not going to be fussy and give you everything it can give you, that's the Helleborus. That's the Lenten rose.
That
plant is certainly well worth having. Here's something else that's very interesting about it. And I don't want this to be taken wrong, but it will self-sow, you know, by seed. It starts multiplying.
Really?
Sometimes you might have to thin it out a little bit. It might become a bully.
Ooh, wow.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, it self-sows, and all of a sudden, after a couple of seasons, you're seeing more and more and more. Now, what's new that self-sows doesn't always necessarily really give you the bloom production that first year or two,
yeah,
like it will as it starts to mature.
Ooh, I love
but
this.
But a great plant.
Loving it right
Look
now.
Look for this particular plant at your local garden centers and nurseries. If they're not there yet, they're going to be because they're starting to just bloom their heads off.
Lenten rose.
The Lenten rose.
Now, you know, we had a couple of Facebook questions we were going to wait till after the break to ask them, but that leads to this from Shelley. I hope I'm saying this right, Shelley Fleur. She posted a question for us just a few minutes ago. Can we trim back our rose bushes now, or is it too late? Since we were talking about the Lenten rose, I thought this might help Shelley out.
Shelley, we're just about right there. No rush. You're not late. And, you know, the real determining factor here is this. You know, it's when we dry out a little bit and it's safe enough to get out there in the landscape and walk around without worrying any bit about soil compaction. You know, right now it's awfully wet. So what I would do, just wait a week or two, you know, anytime during the month of March. You know, my good friend Darlene Cooper likes to prune hers back, you know, in April. Because sometimes the thinking is, you know, we still get some cold temperatures. Anything that breaks with new growth sometimes gets nipped by the cold temperature.
Uh-huh.
So what you typically do is just prune them back again. But for the most part, if it's a climber, we don't prune them back. Or you just only take one of the measures of the three Ds to pruning. That's either something that's been damaged throughout the winter months, something that's been diseased, or something that's dead. And always prune for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And when you prune back your rose bushes, especially your shrub roses, take them back to about 10 inches, give or take, maybe 12. And what I'd like to see you do at that point in time is apply a systemic tree and shrub drench to it, which will protect them all season long. And then be sure to fertilize your rose bushes monthly throughout the growing season until we get into the latter part of summer going into fall. Then you'll start cutting back, but you will have beautiful rose bushes. And when they're finished blooming, deadhead them. That encourages new bud development.
Gotcha. Well, let's go ahead and answer Michael David's question, too, also on our Facebook page. As I mentioned, a great way to stay connected with us. You can post these questions, and we'll answer them for you. Tony's going to respond back to your Facebook question as well on the Facebook page. But David wants to know, and we talked about this a few minutes ago, with this little taste of spring happening here in Cincinnati, when will be a good time to start early seeding in the yard? He is worried that if I do it too soon and the temperature gets down to freezing again, that the roots won't be deep enough and he'll be wasting money because the seeds didn't survive.
Usually that's not a concern. By the time grass seed really germinates, it has a lot to do with soil temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it takes a while to get the soil temperatures up to temperature. So anything that kind of starts to expedite that, I mean, it could happen. But Mother Nature can pretty much take care of herself. The real concern here with sowing seed at the moment, and right now, winter seeding, dormant seeding is typically one of your better times to sow seed, but it's too wet. So what we're going to have to ultimately end up doing is just wait it out, let things dry out, and once things dry out, look at that forecast. You know, the old Al Sleet 7-day forecast, 10-day forecast. And based upon what the forecast says, you know, then go ahead and sow grass seed in the, during the latter part of winter.
Gotcha.
Early spring, either way. But what's most important is make sure that if you have a lawn company doing stuff for you, that your efforts do not undone, so to speak, where they come in and they do the pre-emergent and then therefore everything that you've done is all for nothing.
Right.
So, you know, contact your local company that takes care of your lawn, or if you're doing it yourself, you need to determine what it is you need to do most importantly. And I say this all the time, you need to establish the turf. So, and it's not until the turf starts to germinate, the seed germinates, starts getting rooted in, and you mow it 2 to 3 times, at least 3 times, then you can come back and apply your pre-emergent without worrying about anything. You may not get everything with the pre-emergent, but rest assured, you'll get at least 80% to 85% of most everything else.
Gotcha. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, waiting on our friend Ryan Houlihan from Arling House Heating and Air to join us need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Our friends from Arling House have joined us, but before we get to them, Tony, we have a couple of listeners on the line. Heather, I love her question because I kind of have always felt this way. She's from Independence. And Heather, I'll let you ask Tony what you're looking for. Hi, Heather, are you there?
Yeah.
So, do you have us on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Okay, can you take us off? It makes it a little difficult to hear you sometime.
Yeah.
But go ahead and ask Tony what you're looking for. I just love the way you described what you need.
So, I grew up in a home that they didn't really garden, so I never learned any of those skills.
Uh-huh.
And bought a home quite a few years ago, thought I would take it on and have a nice, beautiful garden up front, and I just can't get it right. And so I was looking for something that's more dummy-proof.
She's
and I looked at, like, hosta and colas, and I've seen how such pretty colors that you can get from it, because in my head, I had only ever thought of just greenery from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if that was a route to go or if there was a better route to go.
You know, I guess I really have to, you said two plants there, and one's shade-loving for the most part. You said hosta, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So really, I have to ask you this, Heather, is do you have more sun than shade, and are you looking for perennials, which perennials are plants that typically die back to the ground and come back every year? And there are...
I would prefer perennials, because I've done annuals, and then I just realized it's so much work for a very little payoff of a very little bloom time.
Mm-hmm. And do you get a lot of sun, or do you get a lot of shade?
So the front of my house where the garden is faces east.
Okay, so sun.
Sorry, it faces west.
West,
so
okay.
So most of my morning into about 1, 2 o'clock is shaded.
Right.
Because it does have a little bit of an overhang lip above it from the house.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, it is in sunlight.
Yeah, and usually... kind of really interesting situation there, because although you're on the western side or you get western exposure, that later in the day sun, it can be one of two things typically. Typically, that's the hottest time of the day, like around 2 o'clock, you know, 3 o'clock, you know, it's still pretty brutal up to 4. But if there's another element there, maybe some trees or another house in between that gives you a little bit more shade or reprieve, you might be able to get away with mostly shade. Kind of perennials. You know, for sun perennials, as a newbie, so to speak, or somebody who's a novice and wanting to learn a little bit about sun-loving perennials, Shasta daisies are a good one. The echinaceas, the coneflowers would be good. Baptisia would be good. Salvia would be a good choice. Just to name a couple, those would get you started. There's a hardy geranium called Roseanne, a great performer. Those are sun-loving. Now, you'll have to experiment a little bit, because most of your sun-loving perennials are going to do best when they get at least 6 hours or more of sun. So on that western side, you know, we need to find that breaking point. What's it going to be that's going to be most suitable? Is it, do you have a brick home? Is there a concrete foundation there that heats up as well?
It is a concrete foundation.
Yeah, so I think what I would do, I would be more apt to go with sun-loving perennials just for that reason, because from around 2 o'clock on, you're going to get a lot of heat. A lot of that heat's going to radiate off the foundation of the home, and therefore I would be more apt to do sun-loving perennials. You know, Coreopsis is another good choice. There's various types of Coreopsis, maybe Dianthus. There's a number of things that you can choose from. And if I can make a suggestion, if you're going to really get into perennials, a great book that's a must have is one called The Well-Tended Perennial Garden. And Tracy DeSabato Ost is the author. And the beauty of this particular book is she only talks about perennials that will do well here in the Midwest. So therefore, you're not going to read about something that does really good in South Carolina or something that does well in New Mexico. It's what does well here in our geographical area.
That's awesome.
So that would be a good start.
Yeah. Yeah.
And feel free to reach out to me on Facebook or give me a call at the garden center or work with any local garden center as far as that goes. And we can certainly put you on the right path, a fun path, and happy perennial gardening to you.
Hey, thanks.
I'm glad you're on board. It's fun, and it's all about trials and tribulations and, you know, just experiencing things. And we're certainly here to help you and let us know.
Take some pictures and post them on our page. We'd like to follow along.
Oh, sounds great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks, all right, Heather. Have a great weekend.
749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have Ken on the line from Blue Ash with a Fertilume question. Hi, Ken. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question about mums, my hardy mums from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Are they done, or should I try to plant them in the garden?
So you've yet to plant those, correct?
They're in boxes.
They're in boxes? Explain that to me.
Flower boxes, sorry.
Oh, they're in your flower boxes. Okay.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, I'd unpack them first, and we'll see where we go.
Yeah, that's that comedy element about Ernie right there. It's what we all love. I would have some concerns, and I'm going to ask you a couple of things. So I'm taking it when you planted these in your window boxes. Is that what they are, window boxes?
Similar. They're on the front porch.
So. Okay. Did you leave them intact throughout the winter months? I mean,
yes.
That you didn't cut them back? They may winter over.
No.
However, when we're above ground, Ken, any time during the course of the winter months, and we had some really cold days, there were some days we were hovering around zero, that is tough on perennial plants, especially if they're above ground and not in the ground. And really, what the true testament is going to be, wait a while until it starts to warm up, and if you see some new growth right at the stem, right at the base of it, that means that it did make the winter. You can cut the old part of the plant out and let it come on. Do you get plenty of sun where these are located?
Yes.
Okay. And as they're growing throughout the season, this is with any, you know, mum, you're going to pinch it back a couple of times to put off the bloom period with the mum so you can get it to bloom later in the season. And the last time you'll cut back or pinch back your mum is usually around the July 4th weekend. Now, the real thing is, as we get into the spring months and you don't see any growth at the base, any basal growth, it didn't make it. Mums are shallow rooted to begin with. And did you buy these at a local garden center by chance?
Yes, down in Redding.
Okay. Typically, you know, we don't call or consider mums hardy perennials like we used to. And I think a lot of that has to do with because we've hybridized and have developed new varieties and different color blooms and so forth. I think because of that, we've somewhat have foregone its resilience, so to speak. They're not as hardy as they used to be. They're shallow rooted as well. The sooner you get them rooted in, the better, especially in the ground. But in a container, I don't know if I would even wait them out to see what they do. You certainly can. I think what I would do is immediately remove those, what was left from last year, and plant pansies. Get some color and make those containers your, like, seasonal boxes or seasonal containers. They're at the front of the house, correct?
Yes.
So those are what welcomes your friends, your family, your neighbors when they walk up to the front of your home. But you can certainly wait it out. I would take a different approach. I'd clean out those boxes. I'd plant pansies. When the pansies are done, I would plant annuals. When the annuals are done, I change it to the fall motif like you did last year. When that's done, I would do something holiday related.
Excellent.
So time is what's going to tell if they made it or not. They may have, and they may not. So keep us in the loop.
Fall question.
Sure.
Would you recommend in the end of the fall removing them then and maybe planting them into the ground if I would like? Or
By the time you do that, I'm going to tell you.
Is it worth the trouble?
Well, put them in the ground to begin with and just make those boxes your seasonal change boxes. What usually happens is, I want you to think about this. When you buy a blooming mum, okay, there's a lot of energy in that bloom. So, therefore, the sooner they can get rooted in, the better. But typically, when you remove it out of that window box and you plant it in the ground, it's starting to slow down. It's starting to shut down. So there's going to be less energy for that to really get well rooted in. And doing it later really prolongs that. And you typically end up, it doesn't even make it in the ground. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but mums aren't what they used to be. So, you know, you can certainly wait it out and give it a shot.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, Ken. Have a good weekend.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friends from Arling House have joined us. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back to talk with them. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it's one of our favorite times of the season when we get a chance to welcome our friends from Arling House back in. And we were just talking out of the break. It's that tweener stage where people are thinking, oh, this is fantastic. I can turn off my furnace and then suddenly we get a little heat wave and they want to flip on the air conditioner. But there's a lot of things we want to talk about. And we welcome in Ryan and Brian. And we were talking a little bit about, before we get started, I want to tell you, appreciate the insight. My wife, Lisa, contacted you guys. And it's something that I had not given any thought to. We live in an older home, been there 30 plus years. About cleaning the ducts. And Ryan just mentioned about the flu season and allergies and everything else. And I believe it was High Tech is the name of the company. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
High Tech Duct Cleaning.
Yeah, High Tech Duct Cleaning. It came in, did a fantastic job. I want to thank you for that referral. It was clean and easy. And I noticed a very big difference. I have allergies pretty badly. And you used to always wake up in the morning and sneeze and hack and cough and stomp around, and was one of her biggest complaints is, you wake me up doing all that. And it is not been anything like that now since that's happened. But
indoor air quality is a big thing.
It is. Man, that might be where we should start. Yeah. Because as you mentioned, cooped up in the flu season in the house. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously, it's been all over the news and social media with how bad flu season was this year and how ineffective flu shots can be. There's, you know, less than 10% chance that it's actually going to work. So, you know, the studies, EPA says that the air inside your home is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the air outside. And it kind of goes back to, you know, mom used to say, you know, I'm going to step outside for a breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we say that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's something that you really have to be aware of and cognitive these days, especially as, you know, people live in boxes. We just have really fancy boxes called houses, right? And they're getting more sealed up. We're using, you know, more building products to keep, you know, energy efficiency up. But what it's doing is just trapping stale air.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting the ducts cleaned is a big thing.
Something you pointed out in one of your earlier visits here is there was a period where we thought the best thing we could do is to seal the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't allow anything to breathe, including the house. And that might have created more issues and problems for us.
Absolutely. I mean, we're trying to keep, you know, the heat inside the house. That way the heating and cooling runs less.
Mm-hmm.
The heating and cooling accounts for, you know, 25% to 40% of your electric and gas bill. So they're looking for ways to reduce the runtime on those things.
Right.
But you know, we're not getting that fresh air from outside. Mother Nature takes care of a lot of things for us. You know, why does it smell so good after it rains, after a thunderstorm?
Oh man, that's the best.
Right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you had that inside your house?
It would be.
So I mean, we offer a lot of products that you know, solve that and and bring that fresh air in. You know, we've talked in the past about our indoor air quality monitor. Mm-hmm, right. We ran a couple tests here at the studio.
Yeah,
we've got more of those monitors now. It's something that we're trying to be forward about and get in front of, because it's a big issue. You know, asthma and things like that are on the rise.
Respiratory diseases and issues.
So why, I mean, why is that? I mean, it's all related to what we're doing inside our houses, the cleaning products, the plugins that we're trying to do to mask smells or make it smell fresh. All of those things have chemicals, formaldehyde in them. Right. And then you get to breathe it, right?
Yeah. It's got to go somewhere, you know. Before we get any further, give us your contact information so that our listeners can reach out to you if they have any questions or want to make any schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can reach us by phone, 859-727-9000. We are on all the social media sites. You can get us on Facebook. You can get us on Instagram. Our website is arlinghouseair.com.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking with our friends from Arlinghouse. We want to pause for just a moment because we have a lot of things we want to talk to them about before the end of the show. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Ryan Houlihan and Brian Arlinghouse in with us. And Miss Rose?
Ruby.
Miss Ruby. Yes. And she is busy with a couple of little games there. We posted a picture of Miss Ruby on our Facebook page. She's here making sure we're following the straight and narrow path.
The future of Arlinghouse. Yeah,
she brought the Happy House in. I remember a couple of years ago, you guys brought Mr. Happy House in, and that's what we're hoping to get you squared away with, is a nice, big, happy house. And Ryan has been helping that. And we've talked a little bit about air quality, and so they can make an appointment, come by, and have the air quality checked with a couple of other things, especially this transition period we just talked about. We've been cooped up. Warmer weather, what's next?
So just one thing about the air quality testing, since you mentioned it, if it's something that you guys are super interested in finding out about, there we do have indoor air quality specialists. So you do have to verbalize and request that when you call in. Mm-hmm. So we do have some technicians who have the right tools and the knowledge to test the air quality in your house. So request that over the phone if that's something that you want done during your tune-up. As far as what's coming up next, I mean, you know, March is next week, right?
Yeah.
Don't say basketball.
No.
I mean, we can say basketball, but
go Cats.
Oh, yeah. March Madness. So, you guys are set up down at the Home and Garden Show, right?
Yep.
So, tell us a little bit about that. What's going on down there? You got any kind of giveaways, anything, that you want to really hone in on or focus on that, I mean, it's, we're talking about spring maintenance tune-ups and things like that. Do you have any specials going on for?
We do. We actually have some promotions going on.
Right.
You can come down there and talk to us in regards to some tune-up. We've got like a $40 off, you know, coupon that you can pick up down there.
Right.
Maybe you just got some questions. We've got some great things down there that we have to give away. But if you just want to come down and maybe ask a couple of questions, we've got all kinds of people down there, service technicians volunteering. You know, some of our sales team is there. So if you have some equipment-specific questions, we're more than happy to talk to you down there about it. So.
I think that's a great way to get connected with you guys. And you know, I think that a lot of people are apprehensive about when it comes to big purchases like that or big items in the home that we rely so heavily on, like our heating and our air conditioning. I think sometimes people have a tendency to just, they're a little apprehensive. They don't know what type of questions to ask. What type of advice would you give them? If they think they're really in need of something, are there certain things they might want to consider or check out, bring up when they do, in fact, meet up with you down at the Home and Garden Show to talk about various things?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think the big thing, with making a big purchase is just being well informed about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information on the internet. You know, some of it's true, some of it's maybe misleading.
Right.
But you know, just trusted websites, trusted companies. Do your research on, you know, the person that you're going to do business with. I mean, we're talking about a piece of equipment that's going to last hopefully 15 is the average, or more. You know, we want them to last longer than that, but it's not like buying a refrigerator. It's not like you just pick, you know, purchase,
right,
pick the color and somebody drops it off and plugs it in.
Exactly.
This equipment doesn't do anything unless our licensed professionals do something with it. Make sure it's installed correctly, you know, make sure it's sized properly for the house. All of that stuff is a key factor to the equipment.
Right.
And the brand of the equipment, you'll read online that the brand is not terribly important. It's more about, you know, who's putting it in and are they doing the necessary steps to make sure
right.
that it's set up properly.
Well, you guys did a great job for us. I mean, you've not only have done my personal heating and air at my personal residence, you've done some work for us at the garden center. I know you've done some work for Ernie's mother-in-law and father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I can attest you guys do a top quality job. And Brian, you often say, and I really admire this, even if you're looking at something for somebody, you always encourage the homeowner to get a couple of opinions.
Oh, absolutely. It's important. They need to do their homework. And,
right.
You know, that keeps us on top of our game also. So when people are checking up to make sure what we're saying is true,
mm-hmm.
it keeps us to a higher bar also. And very important to us. And it is. It's about doing the right things for each individual homeowner, because every homeowner and every house is different. And you've got to stay very educated on what we are installing, the products mm-hmm. and whatnot. And, you know, we do make mistakes sometimes, but even when we do make mistakes, we're always there to make sure it's right.
Right.
You know,
that's
one of the most important things. Is
agreed.
If there's something that goes wrong, hey, we're always there. And those things do happen.
Right. So. And Ernie brought up something in the beginning of the show, actually before you guys arrived. Apparently you put a lot of emphasis on like training for your staff members and your technicians. And Ernie kind of felt left out. He thought you were having too good of a time there. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's so important as well for your staff to be up to date with the latest and the greatest and the newest.
Yeah, and, I mean, with technology these days, it's incredible, the advancements in heating and cooling and the equipment, the mechanics, the electronics that are in there. So, yeah, I mean, our guys need to be very well trained on the technical side and the customer service side. So that's what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. I took some team members to Texas twice over the last 3 weeks to get that training. And it was a great time. So yeah, I mean, training is it's in our mission statement. it's something that's one of our core values. So I did learn an interesting fact while I was in Texas. Before World War II, 80% of the population worked in the trades. Today, it's less than 6%.
Oh, wow. So, repeat that.
Yeah. So 80% of the population before World War II worked in some form of a trade. Today's population is less than 6%.
Wow.
So the trades, you know, the advancement in technology and what it takes as a skilled tradesman to work and, mm-hmm. and verify, you know, safety, make sure it's set up properly. You know, that's happening very rapidly, and there's not a whole lot of people out there that are actually doing it. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that the people that you're doing business with are up to date with the training. I mean, it may cost a little bit more to have a licensed professional do the work, but I promise you, in the long run, it's cheaper.
Mm, agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Tony used to always say, as Grandpa used to say, that the most expensive tool you purchase is a cheap one. And it's the same way with you. If you're always looking for that cheap or doing it on the cheap, it always costs you more.
You know, Ernie, it's funny you say that, because I want to say this real quick. My grandfather, I can remember going back to the old CG&E days, mm-hmm. and he would seal off the upstairs and the rooms, you know, with plastic and sheets and all this stuff. And a representative from CG&E stopped out, and we were there. And he's like, Mr. Works, I'd like to go over some things with your home and save you some money on your energy cost. He told that guy, he goes, it doesn't matter what I do. He said, I could leave the doors open. It still won't be the same amount every month. He was so frustrated with, you know, he had sealed off the rooms. You know, you turn off the register vents. And, oh, gosh, he was a character. You just had to have met him.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friends from Arling House Heating and Air with us. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friends from Arling House Heating and Air in with us again, sharing some information about, first of all, about the trade, and secondly, about a couple of things that you need to be aware of, especially as we make this transition from late winter to early spring. And Tony was just asking while we were in the break about the maintenance program you guys can get on.
Absolutely. It's a great package. It's really kind of an all-inclusive, you know, hands-free. It's like, you know, setting your heating and cooling equipment on cruise control. So our maintenance plan is just $19.95 a month. So we actually give you a call in the spring when it's time to do your AC, and then in the fall time to do the furnace. So you don't even have to remember to do it. You know, we got you on autopilot there, and we'll make those phone calls out to you to remind you. On top of that, you know, it covers your diagnostic charges. So if you have a problem and you need us out there, maybe something's not working right, the plan actually covers that Monday through Friday, between 8 and 5. It includes your, like I said, your heating tune-up, your cooling mm-hmm. tune-up, and some additional cleanings on top of that. So it's a great plan.
Yeah. And that way you're worry-free.
Absolutely.
You know, because no one wants to get caught in that situation where it's the dead of winter and the furnace goes out, or it is the heat of summer and
the air conditioning goes
air conditioning.
You know what, but the air conditioning doesn't go out in the winter yeah. and the furnace doesn't go out in the summer. You know, it's always in season. So there, you know, it always yeah. happens at the most inopportune time.
The first of the year actually happened to our general manager, where it went out over the holiday. I think it was it New Year's Eve, Brian?
I believe it was.
Yes. Yeah. So it went out, and it happened on the holiday there. He needed a circuit board for his furnace, and we couldn't get it. I mean, he was basically without heating for
three or four days.
Yeah.
Wow. I especially mean, if you're near zero. It's
yeah.
Even, it was cold. So brutal.
Whoa.
It was cold. And, you know, it kind of goes back to those things where you just got to get it checked out, get it cleaned,
mm-hmm.
Make sure that if there's anything that can be prevented, you know, we identify those issues. Certainly there's things that, you know, just with electronics, you know, power surges, things like that, that can happen unexpectedly, but right. they're farther and fewer between. You definitely don't want to be stuck, you know, when it's zero or when it's 90. And you've got a hot house or a cold house. It is not fun for the family.
No. Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to put you on the spot here just a little bit, Ryan. And we usually do these things, the five things you need to know. We're just talking about the importance of managing your house, as you were talking about the heat and the cool. What are the five priorities of a homeowner when it comes to heating and air?
I think the first one, that homeowner can take care of themselves is the filter. I mean, we talk about that a lot, when we're on the show, because it's very popular for homeowners. It's something that they're responsible for, and keeping up with. And it's definitely one of those things that's the first thing that gets forgotten. You know, the furnace, is just down in the basement or in the attic, and it's out of sight, out of mind, yeah. and everything in the house is just comfortable. Until it's not.
And I'll tell on myself here. I've always been frustrated with changing that filter out. And like I told you, I just have the worst time. Once in a while, I try to change that thing out and I can't get it. I can't get the filter out. And then when I try to get the new one back in, it's impossible. And Ryan said, "You turn the fan off?" No, but I will the next time.
Ernie.
That works beautifully.
Yeah, you definitely got, when you change that filter, turn the power off, or just turn it off with the thermostat. It'll make your life a lot easier. That's
yes,
for sure.
It does.
But yeah, definitely keeping up on that and checking the air filter. If you've got, you know, there are filters that out there that last 6 to 12 months, but you still need to check it on a right. monthly basis. Take a look at it. Put it in your calendar. For everybody else that's just got like a 1-inch filter, you need to be changing that, every 30 to 60 days. I know it says 90 days on the package. Mm-hmm. That's in a perfect world. And you definitely don't want to push the limit on that, because it's all tied into efficiency and comfort. So
that's two. We need to pause for a moment. And when I thought he was saying we need to take a break. So the filters and changing on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The thermostat would be the next one. I think that's super important for homeowners. You know, it's one of those things that you can actually control with your phone these days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm connected on my phone to my house. Marty Joe is not at the house. My wife is gone. So I can't mess with her and turn the heat off right now. But, you know, that's tied in with your efficiency as well. People think that they can set it back. Like, let's just say I'm going to work, and I normally set my thermostat for 70, and they turn it all the way back to, you know, 58 or 60 because they think they're saving money. Mm-hmm. And then they turn it back up to 70 when they get home. Now they've got to use all that energy to get back up. Right. That heat leaves the house. It leaves the furniture. It leaves the walls. And then it's got to soak back into all that. So, you know, setting your thermostat back is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do it any more than 3 to 4 degrees.
Ah, good move.
From set point.
Now, will that also alert you if there's a issue with your furnace or your AC?
Yeah, so it depends on the thermostat that you have in your house. The one that I have and the ones that we offer some great Wi-Fi Honeywell and April Air options. We'll pretty much install any thermostat that you want, but those are the two that we believe are the best. And, you know, we only want the best products in your house. So those particular thermostats actually have some parameters that you set up on the app. And you just say, hey, if it gets lower than 65 degrees in my house, send me an alert. It'll let me know. If it gets lower than 65 degrees, then I know there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say this. I know that we had a couple of overnight temperatures. I mean, we were like hovering around zero. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, and this is the truth. My old furnace, before you installed the new train, it struggled to stay at 65.
Yeah.
I keep mine at an even 71, and that train, it just kept going. It's like it had nothing but engines, and it didn't have to pull anything. Yep. But it stayed right there, 71. It didn't struggle. And that was a huge difference that I noticed. That was the first thing I noticed.
And that goes back to making sure the equipment's sized properly, you know, for the house. Right. So when we come in, we do that engineering analysis, you know, check the windows, insulation, what direction the house faces. All of that plays a part. How many people, what kind of activities are in the house? You know, I don't know. If you're running a tanning salon out of your basement, you probably need a bigger air conditioner.
Probably.
So all those factors are key. So.
You know, I like my my thermostat that you guys installed for me because that little light pops on. Because my change out on my filter, I have a 4-inch?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like every 3 months.
Right.
So it is staying on unless I program it differently.
Yep.
But it's that nice reminder. If I walk past it, I see it, and I don't forget. Usually I'll write a little note or a little sticker on my, like, furnace, you know, when I got to change that. But when I just see that little light, it's like, that's simple enough.
Anything you can do to help you, you know, remember to go down and look at it or change it, you're definitely going to help your pocketbook.
And actually, I don't know, Ernie, you said you did just some duct cleaning recently.
Right.
I noticed when I do change that after 3 months, it's still relatively clean. So I guess that's a good sign.
It is.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I it's like, well, it's really not that dirty, but I still switch it out.
Yep.
Yeah, that's important.
Definitely, it just depends on what's going on in the house. You know, I did have, there's just one time I remember showing up on a service call, and this filter, it looked white. I'm like, this is exactly the way it's supposed to look, you know? But the furnace wasn't, you know, working right. And come to find out, I mean, it was because she had a couple of cats, and the dust from the litter box was white. And it coated that filter, and it made it look like it was fine, but, you know, in all reality, it needed to be changed.
Yep.
So,
you know, I want to say congratulations to you guys, too, because you're celebrating your 10th year anniversary this summer. Is that right?
June 1st.
Yeah,
10
that,
years. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, that there's a lot to be said for that. You're locally owned, and you're part of the community, and you service not just Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, so anyone that's listening, you can cross the river. So
absolutely.
That's a huge plus as well. So you have a lot to offer the community, and I just wanted to say congratulations on your 10-year anniversary.
It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to the continued fun, but it's neat serving the customer, you know, and in a time of need,
right.
We're there for them.
Right.
It's fun. That's the fire we all get with everybody throughout Arling House is helping customers. So.
And that's what we're here for. You know, we want to promote companies like yourselves that, you know, you're part of the community. You have a great reputation. And the most important thing, too, is when Ernie and I talk about Arling House Heating and Air, we have a lot of experience with you guys, and you've done a wonderful job for us. And if anyone was ever to ask me of any recommendations, you guys are always top on the list.
You
do a great
job.
Did you say that you have some sort of a special going on at the Home and Garden Show?
Yeah, we got a couple of things going on right now. But the big giveaway that we're doing,
right.
You can come down and talk to us about it. It's actually a $800 family fun pack, which includes a Yeti cooler, FC Cincinnati tickets, Florence Freedom tickets, a bunch of different gift cards. You know, so you can sign up and register to win that. We've got a couple other things. Like I said, $40 off a system tune-up, $200 off a water heater replacement. We also got a $1,500 rebate on a new system. So a lot of things going on.
Some really cool pink T-shirts.
Yeah, Ernie's first question, like, what do you got down there? And I was saying earlier in the show, I was thinking you still were doing the trees this year, but it's the shirts. And Ernie's like, how big do you go up to?
You should be happy I didn't ask for drink tickets.
Drink tickets. I,
You know, before we get out of here, first of all, give us your contact information one more time. We have a couple of minutes left, and we want to talk about opportunities, too.
Sure. Yeah, it's 859-727-9000, arlinghouseair.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram.
Two or three things that we touched base on is congratulations on your 10-year anniversary and the amount of growth that you've had. And the thing that staggered me was what you meant or what you talked about, the working in the trades. Give us that number one more time, and I'll tell you why.
Sure, yeah. So before World War II, 80% of the population worked in a trade. 2018, that's 6% or less of the population is working in some form of a trade.
So with the tremendous growth, Brian, you guys said you have opportunity for employment, and you wanted to touch base a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in October, we moved into a new building, and in the new building when we were designing it, it was very important for us to have a training room. Mm-hmm. And we have outside training that comes in biweekly that trains our guys and girls. Mm-hmm. And we as a company are looking for young, talented individuals that really don't know which way their career path is going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a matter of do they want to go to college or go into the trades. We want them to choose a trade before college.
Sure.
They can come in and get fully trained with Arlinghouse and other companies that are out there. But, you know, go into this thing debt-free and making money right from the get-go and full benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, the benefits, 401k and paid vacations and holidays and health insurance, that's something we still do, too. We pay for the employees' health insurance.
That's fantastic.
And we want to attract that young talent in, and we'll train them. We will train them to a great career path.
Right.
And this business that we're in is only going to become more demanding mm-hmm. with the technology mm-hmm. that's involved and whatnot. And the younger generation that are homeowners out there, they're more demanding. They want service. They want it now, and they want good service.
Right.
And that younger generation now are customers of ours, and we've got to be able to provide them that service. And it's just good all around.
Sure.
And there is a great opportunity for people out there to come and work with Arlinghouse right now.
And it could be a great career path. So, can get that information available on your website?
Yeah, you know, you can actually, you know, call into the office there, 859-727-9000, ask to speak with me. I'm the service manager, and more than happy to sit down and kind of go over those options and see if it would be a good fit.
Good. Thank you guys so much for coming in again. It
yes,
always seems to
you.
Fly when you're here, and we're going to follow you down to the Duke Energy Center and the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show. Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. Look them up online, and certainly give them a call if you have any questions or if you need any service done. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll be back to talk to you next time on In and Around the House.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.